Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Good morning, Walk in Truth.
Good morning, ACT.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Welcome to Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church. Thank you for joining us around the world, wherever you may be. As always, we hope you hear something today that will be of an encouragement to you, a blessing. And of course, if you're not saved, ask the age-old question, what must I do to be saved? Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and get started with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to have exhortation and a song from Minister Kay.
Amen.
All right.
The scripture we have today is Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen.
Amen.
And the thing is, with the sufferings and things that we go through, a lot of times we'll ask God, oh, Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me wisdom. The way to gain strength, you have to go through some things.
Yeah.
The way to gain wisdom, you may have to solve some problems. We'll ask for these things sometimes, but we'll just expect the Lord to put it in us like that. A lot of these things you have to go through to gain, or you have to work at. Amen?
Amen.
Bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that we could all gather here today, Lord, to worship you and to magnify your name, Lord. We pray for this service, Lord, that you may bless it, Lord, and that we may hear a word from you today, Lord. Continue to help us to all grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, wow, y'all getting kind of strong now, baby. Y'all done had that good old food from Sister Carolyn yesterday. Y'all done got your fellowship on yesterday. And y'all looking like a bright sunshine up in here. But they say good food is good for the soul, right? Woo, praise the Lord. You know what, y'all, today I wanted to really read something to you and then try to expound on it for my exhortation.
Amen.
And it comes from the book of Matthew chapter 20, and the main part of it was verse 28, but it starts at verse 25. And it says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. Mm-hmm. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you should be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I was reading this scripture, and like Steve was saying this morning, we want so much, we want so much. But if we think about what Jesus done when he came here, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve the people, right?
Yes.
When he came to serve the people, that was an example.
Yes.
Yes.
So we learned to do like Christ did, you know. He fed 5,000, he healed people, he did all this. He didn't do it all for show. He was showing them, I came to serve you. I came to save you. I come to help you.
Amen.
And the same thing with us. He gave his life. He came so we would be able to serve others. And that is a big thing in this fellowship and in this church body. We always should be serving somebody else. We should always esteem others higher than ourselves.
Amen.
Because you know what? That's what we have been called to do.
Yes.
Do like Jesus done. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh Lord. I've been waiting to get that out because that really pierced my soul for the simple reason of, like you say, like Pastor always tell us, if you look back at the cross and you look at the things that Jesus done to bring us out, to save us from all this worldly stuff, and to pull us out of the sin nature.
Yeah.
We'll learn to appreciate Christ more. We'll learn to appreciate others more, no matter what they look like, how they talk, how they sound, none of that, how they smell. Because a lot of us, you smell somebody, be like, you know what? But the thing of it is, you know, Christ washed the people's feet, and I'm pretty sure they wasn't smelling like perfume. Amen? Now, I'm going to try to sing this song, and then I know it was a group of people said we was going to sing a song. So I had this song on backup, just in case that, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But anyway, I'm going to sing this song, so y'all bear with me. And Daphne, you can back me up from the corner over there. Okay. When I come into your presence, past the gate of praise, into your sanctuary, until we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the glory of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you my voice we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Now I hope y'all felt this.
Yeah.
Singing and giving him praise and honor and glory for all the things, even the things you're going through, even the things that he brought you through. You should always be able to give the Lord some praise.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to see if these young ladies are ready to do this next song, and then we're going to turn it back over to the master of the house.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree.
I need you to survive.
survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
I pray for you.
You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to
Lord, a hand clap of praise. Yeah. That was awesome.
We had one man in the group.
And hold on. It got the five voices of beer. We had 13 people up here. Praise God. I could have sworn I heard a whole Cold Tabernacle choir. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, guys. That was a blessing. That was truly a blessing. I'm glad you guys, y'all did that on the humbug.
Yes,
yes. Amen. A lot of young folks don't know what that means. It means they did it on the quick. That's an old school term, humbug. Yeah. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. You know, and I'll tell you the verse. We're gonna do verse 1, but we'll get started with that. But I want to talk about this. So many times during our walk with Christ, we all come from different backgrounds, different denominations, different religious sects, the way we grew up, the culture that we came from, socially, economically, educational-wise. And a lot of times when it comes to God, those are the things that hold us back. Because what we do, we come with preconceived notions to God. And really, God is a lot simpler than we make Him out to be when it comes to dealing with people. Because for some reason or another, it's just built in us naturally, we want to seem more pious than the next person. We want to pretend as if we're more righteous than the next person. So therefore, that's the creation of religion. Religion simply is man's interpretation of what he thinks God wants, but a lot of times it falls short because, again, in any religious denomination or ritual, it just simply falls short because it's tainted with the fact of you want to be better than somebody else. And if we're not careful, we will always fall in that, even walking truth. No matter what we do, and as good as we may think we are, we're only as good as we serve God.
Amen.
And serve each other. So therefore, there's no reason to believe that any one person has it all up in here.
That's right.
We're a body. I mean, it's interesting that we say these words about we're a body, where Christ is our head, but the body functions all together.
Amen.
It doesn't function separately, but even though it may have separate assignments within the body, the hand grabs, the foot walks, but it all works together under the head. We have one head, it's called Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And as we move through the body, as Karen articulated, our job is to serve him by serving each other. And therefore, those who see us serve each other will decide to come to Christ and be part of this body.
Amen.
Now, you get a choice on the local body that you're with. But let's always remember that if we're not careful and monitor the good that we do, it can be evil spoken of because people can think that we think we more than what we actually are. We're just unworthy servants. We talked about that last week. You're doing simply what God has called you to do. You're not doing anything extra, even though it may seem like that compared to the world, but you're doing exactly what God told you to do, suffer. And there's two kinds of suffering. There's a suffering that's ministerial, then there's suffering that is meritorial, meaning that there's a suffering that Christ did for us that we can't duplicate, but there's the suffering that those of us who are all saints called to ministry that you're going to suffer through, okay? There's suffering that actually put us in the body of Christ that we can't do. He died for us. We can't die for each other in that sense. We can die to each other, but we can't die for each other, meaning that I can't die for you that'll make you righteous enough to go to heaven. He's the only one that can do that. The sufferings that he had is nothing compared to what we got in exchange for his suffering. He got our sin, we get glory. You see what I'm saying? He took on our sin, we get the righteousness of Christ. He had a bloody robe on and we get the robe of righteousness. And we get a crown of glory. All because he was willing to go to the cross for us. Because he was willing to stand. So let's look at Galatians 5 and 1. Read that, Steve.
Galatians 5, starting at 1.
Mm-hmm. Just verse 5 and 1.
For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery.
For freedom, Christ has set us what?
Free.
For freedom, Christ has set us free. How did he set us free? He set us free from the penalty of sin. The yoke of bondage that we all have been attached to since birth was the yoke of sin. And a lot of times religion gets us beyond that scope. It says that we need to do something. We need to participate in something. We need to find some religious way of being free. But Jesus, it said he died for us to be free. Then it tells us that we don't need to submit no longer. Say no longer.
No longer.
To the yoke of bondage. We don't need to be submitted to that no more. You are free from sin. And you don't even realize how free you are. You think coming to church make you free. No. Churching is not in its right perspective. Can put you more in bondage than you were before you came. The Bible talks about knowledge. Knowledge is good. Knowledge can do some things. But knowledge in itself don't set you free. Because knowledge that's not tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit and love is puffed up.
Come on now.
So this freedom that we have is much more beautiful than we can ever imagine. Like we've been studying, who is sufficient to really unpack the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus? During the Galatians time, the Galatians were a Gentile group of believers, and Paul had come to that church and set that church up and got them to understand that they're free by grace through faith. They didn't have to participate in any of the Jewish rituals and rites, but you have to understand, during that time, you had Judaizers in the body of Christ. Just because it's going to tell you, as we're going to see, you had Pharisees inside the body of Christ. And we have Pharisees inside the body of Christ now.
Yeah.
They look at every ritual and say, we need to do it like this. We need to stand like this. We need to walk like this. We need to talk like this. We need to put on our gloves. We need to pass the plate. We need to do these things. And these things make us righteous and holy. But what you're doing, you're putting the people under the yoke of bondage. Because we're human, we our natural bent is towards, let me find something to do to prove something. Let me do this your way. Let me emulate you. And while we're emulating each other, we're missing out on trying to find out what Christ wants us to do and how he wants us to emulate. He wants us to serve. He wants each one of us to decide to take a bottom position and put somebody else on top.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
freedom, you've been set free. And therefore, you stand in that freedom. But you can only stand, they can only stand if they understood, because, again, they were very impressionable. And then you had the pious people, the religious people, inside the body of Christ. They see, the key about being inside the body of Christ, it does not necessarily not make you a Pharisee because you're inside the body of Christ. You can believe in Jesus Christ for your Savior and remission of your sins and still try to walk under the law of the Pharisee. But the problem with that is, that ain't what won you. That's what not bought, that didn't bring you to Christ. What that does is set up a system inside God's grace. And we need to be careful of that, saints. Let's not set up something that's going to hold people back. Mm-hmm. Let's not set up our own particular things that we like in church that hold people back, that never set a person free. Because that puts them under that yoke of bondage. And the Galatians were dealing with that. They were a brand new church, and they were enthusiastic. And Paul got them to come by faith through grace. He was happy. They were happy. And here comes the Judaizers saying, no. No, 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 no. You still need to get circumcised. You still need to follow the laws of Moses. See, we have to understand the church was in transition. Say transition.
Transition.
We're all in transition, and sometimes we hold on to stuff longer than we have to. From our old religion.
Yeah.
It's not that it's heresy.
Right.
I don't want you to think that being a Pharisee is heretical, because it's not. We've actually beat the Pharisees up beyond what God has called us to do. Because we make them just the most evil person in the Bible.
Yeah.
They're not. There were devout men and women of God, men of God, who really understood the Old Testament. What they missed was the spirit of the Old Testament. They understood what the law did, but they thought the law could set them free. But the law can only do is condemn them.
Right.
So they had a misunderstanding. They were in the right place. They understood some things, but they didn't understand that they could not do the law. And that's where the piety comes in. Because what happens is, I'll put something on you that I can't even do. So you can look at me and say, I know he's doing that. And the Lord knows the heart. He says, no, they're not. They're just putting something on you to weigh you down. So we need to stand in this freedom that God has given us. We need to stand, therefore, we need to stand some more. I mean, when you've done all you can do, the Bible talks about standing some more. And yet still, those of us who stand, sometimes we stumble, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, how many of you have stumbled in your walk with God?
Come on, come on, come on. Where's the man? Y'all don't want to stumble.
Just stumble when it comes to the walk. We've all been stumbled.
Yes.
When it all fell short of the glory of God.
Yes.
I mean, I it's kind of funny when I said that, everybody kind of got quiet, like I said something wrong. You know, I mean, we all stumble. We all fall short of the glory of God. And he called them fools. He called them fools. He said, you know what? You guys are fools, because did you not come under the power of grace? Okay, go to Galatians chapter 3. Where I go, 3 what?
1-3.
1-3, read that.
O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?
Are you being perfected by the flesh? No. So that lets you know, no religious activity perfects you. You're being perfected, made perfect into his image by the Spirit of God as you live out your life. And that's called the process of sanctification. You're on your way. So when we're dealing with people, just like the Galatians, I'm warning you, don't be a fool to believe that because you do this or do that or teach Bible study or sing songs, that necessarily commends you to God. In 1 Corinthians, we're understanding whether you eat meat or don't eat meat, that doesn't commend you to God. The liberty is you have a choice. And you never put your burden on somebody else. But that takes a mature saint to understand, I don't want to let any of my religious beliefs hinder you from coming to Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't want to let the way I do anything hinder you to make it be so dogmatic about it that you got to do it my way all the time and that's just the way we do it. Yeah. Yes, there's some traditions inside of Walk of Truth, but the only tradition that's worth anything is the one that God has given us to serve Him. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing we need to focus on. All this other stuff, all this pomp and circumstance, it's good for a to look at, but it don't mean nothing if the heart ain't right.
Yes. Amen.
The Judaizers was coming behind them saying, you got to get circumcised, you got to participate in the dietary laws, and you can find them in Leviticus and listen to all these dietary laws, but that's for the Jews, that's not for the church.
Yeah.
You're free.
Amen.
Christ died for you to be free, and yet still you want to go back to the Old Testament and fall under the yoke of bondage that they couldn't even do. And they Jews. They Jews. Go to Galatians 6:15. Listen to what it says, Steve.
Galatians 6:15. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation.
But a new creation. Neither circumcision that was big for the Jews, he's saying for the church, it don't mean anything. Because they couldn't understand that the outward sign of circumcision on the flesh was supposed to happen on the inward part of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And yet still, we still practice some of these things, not necessarily circumcision, but we practice these religious rituals and rites, and we say, you got to do this. And he just said, it don't mean anything. Because you're a new creature. And a new creature has new ways. Old things pass away. All things become new. See, the key is, are you walking the newness of life? Is your freedom teaching you and guiding you to walk upright before all men and put you in a position whereas your love for Christ and appreciation of what he's done for you on the cross teaches you not to sin? You don't sin because you need the law. You don't sin because you love Jesus.
Amen.
I've done more out of loving him that is righteous than I could ever do and the law tell me what to do. Because there's something in the law that says I have to do it so perfect because the law is so holy that I actually believe in my human state I could do it. No, I can't. He's the only one that kept the law and kept it fully.
Amen.
That's why he was the perfect lamb for us. God said, I prepared a body for myself. It was in Jesus Christ. So that you can be free. He was already God.
Amen.
But he came in flesh so you can be free. He didn't have to come, but he wanted the creation of man to have a relationship with him again. And the Godhead agreed that a sacrifice has to be given because the law said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The bulls and goats were just a band-aid to the reality of Jesus. The bull that was caught in the thicket was a reality of God providing a sacrifice for himself. But little did they know and little did we know if he lived in that time that the sacrifice would be his own son. When we hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we don't understand what that really is saying in this sense. It's not the ooey gooey God so loved the world. No, the world has become sinful. You got to look at that world as an extent. This is how it goes. God so loved the world to the extent that he gave his only begotten son. See, there's a difference. The love is the measurement of the sacrifice versus the feeling behind it. God so loved the world that he decided to give his son for the world that the world might not be condemned. There has no feelings involved in it. That's all relationship of fact. The extent of his love was measured by his sacrifice so you can be free.
Amen.
And anytime that you don't understand that, anytime that you walk in your piety, anytime that you want to lay the hammer down, what a scalpel will do, you are violating the law of love. The love says it's my obligation to figure out what you need so I can bring you up. That's my obligation. That's your obligation. We've all been given the ministry of what? Reconciliation. What does that mean? That means I need to figure out what I need to do. How low do I need to go to get you to come up to Christ? How can I push you up? I don't need to pull you. Because if I'm pulling you, I'm on top. But if I'm pushing you, I'm from the bottom.
Amen. Yes.
My strength, anybody lift weights, when I used to lift weights, your strength is in your lower half. You can squat more than you can bench press. You can squat more than you can lift it up over your head. Why? Because the strength is on being at the bottom pushing up. That's why a foundation has to be stronger than the building itself.
Amen.
You're supposed to be that one who's willing to let somebody stand on your shoulders. This is not a burden. That you're free to do it because you know inside of you, you have all power to do it. You got enough God in you and enough love in you that somebody who don't understand can stand on your shoulders. That's the beauty of the freedom. The Galatians had a problem. Because church folk cause problems. And again, they sincerely mean well. And again, I don't want to demonize them. They really believed what they were doing to help them along. But only thing they were doing was doing something that they weren't able to do. Okay? Go to Acts 15. Acts 15. Start at verse 1. This is where a lot of reading going to come in.
But some men came down from Judea.
Now I want y'all to understand, this is the actual problem. So in Galatians 5, he's telling them to stand strong. Do not adhere to the yoke of bondage, right? But this is what was wrong. This is why he had to tell them to stand. This is why he called them foolish, because the Judaizers were coming in. So Paul and Barnabas decided to go back to Jerusalem to talk to Peter and them and say, you know what? We want to make sure that we're right. So we're going to go back and hold an ecumenical council. And we're going to question the other apostles and the other elders to see if we're on the right page when it comes to these Galatians. Because these brother Judaizers, are every time we go set somebody free, they put them back in bondage. And they looked the part. You know what I'm saying? They come in with they collars on and everything, just like we do. But they put them back in bondage. So we need a ruling from you. We need a ruling from you guys, because you guys walk with Jesus. What was Jesus trying to say? Go ahead, now go on.
And we're teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.
See, they wrap the ritual up into salvation. How many times have you probably been wrapped up thinking if you did something, you saved? You've been told in church, you've got to do this, and only through this act that is outwardly you saved. Salvation is an inward act on a sin-sick soul, on your heart. There's no performance from it. People don't still sin. You all, it didn't say we all fall short of the glory of God until after we saved. Said we all fall short of the glory of God. See, this is the measure of your maturity, because when you think that you have reached sinless perfection, you actually really, you're the one who's a heretic, because what you've done is lower the holiness of God.
Come on.
You made God you. Oh, God, look at you. Yeah, look at me. Right? I got to do this, right? Church need to do this, right? I got a person, church need to do this, right? Church need to do it. I just be quiet. Never argue with a fool. Just be amazed at how churched they are. And Lord has tempered me, because I could be in the middle of a conversation, they all excited, and they can take that verse of scripture. I say, you know, my mind said, they don't even mean that whole thing. But I don't correct them. They don't mean they ain't saved. It's just that they've been taught wrong.
Yes.
It don't mean they're going to hell either. It's just that they ain't been set free.
Amen. Amen.
Read.
And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and the elders about this question.
So the question was, do they have to do circumcision? Right? Because they were preaching, oh yeah, that Jesus Christ on the cross is all good, and believing by faith is all good, but there's one more thing. You got to get circumcised. Okay? They didn't know. They weren't Jews. Okay? See, you got to understand, when you read the Bible, y'all be reading all like one book in total. It's like these are different geographies, different times. Yeah, you can't read Malachi and read Galatians and say you're reading the same thing, because you're not. Okay? These are people that did not know, they know nothing about Judaism. I know, contrary to belief, you thought all the world knew about Judaism. Because you're ready when you read the Bible, you think, oh, they just, no, there's more pagan nations than there were Jewish nations. They had amalgamated into the Babylonians and everything. And now this is the time they've amalgamated the Romans on top. They still on the bottom because they're disobedient. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they got this meeting, read, Steve.
So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversation of the Gentiles, mm-hmm. and brought great joy to all the brothers. Mm-hmm. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them.
Now I want you to pay attention. Who were they welcomed by?
Apostles, elders.
No, who were they welcomed by? Yeah, but who were they welcomed by? The church. Don't say nothing about no temple. No. It'll say nothing about no synagogue. It's right there in front of you. You get welcomed by the church. And who's in the church? The apostles, the elders, and the brothers and sisters. Okay, read.
But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, mm-hmm. rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses.
So they were what in the body? What did it say what they were?
Pharisees.
No, what were they? Some of the believers.
Yes.
See, y'all, you see, you go straight to the negative. They were Pharisees. They were believers. It's right there in front of you. But you've been mad. You've been tricked to do, oh, wait, Pharisee bad, believers good. They were believers and they were Pharisee. How do you equate the two? Because their salvation has nothing to do with their pharisaical training. It didn't say they were unbelievers. It didn't say they were false teachers. He said they were believers. But they had an opinion and a viewpoint based upon the old, which has passed away. But they hadn't got the memo yet. Some of you haven't got the memo yet. And you still say, it's okay. Oh, baby, it's okay. You just got to get the memo. You've been set free. But these Pharisees are like, no. We need to circumcise them. And I think that's kind of weird within itself, too. These grown men wanting to circumcise other grown men. Something wrong with that picture. You know, I don't see no efficacy in that. Okay, that's kind of weird to me. All right, just so I can worship with you. It's just me. All right, go ahead.
The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them.
Stop right there for a second. Mm-hmm. Much debate. Mm-hmm. It's okay for us to debate. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between argue. Well, okay. There's a difference between the modern day word of arguing versus classic word of arguing. Mm-hmm. Arguing classically means to debate. Debate means to exchange ideas, even if it's done fervently, okay? Okay. Y'all be trying to, you know what, cause confusion. You ain't causing confusion trying to get something straight.
Right.
Me and Daddy been round and round. Me and Alicia been round and round. But we trying to get something straight.
Right.
I don't say they don't love God. I like that.
Amen.
How can iron sharpen iron with no friction?
Come on.
Okay. I like that.
Y'all, tell me how that works.
Okay.
It ain't working. It's okay for y'all to be fervent about y'all beliefs, but be willing to listen to the other person. And then you go straight to what? Scripture.
Yep. Yep.
That's the final word.
Yep. Right.
You might have had that opinion because you didn't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You was blinded. Mm-hmm. But now you've been set free. You ain't got it. You ain't got to stick to that. You ain't got to be dogmatic about it. Okay? All right, go ahead.
Brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us.
So Peter is going through, you know what he's going through? He's remembering the incident that he had with Cornelius. You got to be able to put it together in your mind. Why would Peter say that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit? Where did he see that at?
Yeah.
He saw that in the house of Cornelius.
Yeah.
Remember when he was up on the roof fasting and the sheep came down with the porks, the snoots, and the pig ears?
Yeah. Yep. He didn't want to eat.
He didn't want to eat.
Yep. Right.
He hungry.
Yeah.
His belly button rubbing up against his ribs. He fasted.
Yeah.
He go back up, come back down. He said, no, Lord, he think it's a trick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lord, I don't eat nothing unclean.
Yeah.
Go back up, come back down. You know, it's bacon on it this time. Because, you know, bacon make everything taste good. So bacon on it, you know, I don't eat. No, Lord, you ain't going to trick me with that. Then the Lord told him, don't call unclean what I call clean.
Right,
don't call.
Right.
Don't. I'm trying to show you something. And then by then, Cornelius had got a message to dispatch these men to come get Peter. Mm-hmm. And when Peter went to the house, you know, I'm moving fast through the story, but Peter went to the house, and Peter said, I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah.
I know the Lord told me you were coming, the Lord told me to follow. And he said, you do know, Cornelius, that we don't eat with Gentiles. You know, we don't even come to your house. Because that makes us unclean. Isn't that stupid?
That's
crazy. See, that lets you know Peter still hadn't got the memo. And he's an apostle.
Right.
So don't assume that the man or woman who stands before you know everything.
Right.
Maybe I didn't get the memo you got.
Come on.
Maybe I need to listen to you for a second.
Right. Yes.
That's all right.
Yes.
You better come with scripture for me.
Okay.
Can't tell me your opinion. Gonna have to prove it out through scripture.
Yes.
But again, it's okay. But just let you, that should give you hope that even Peter, the apostle of God, standing tomorrow. Through the Gentiles, you know, God had chose me to be the leader. And because of me, I was going to be the voice unto the Gentiles. Okay, Peter? But you had to have the experience.
Yeah, yes.
When you went to the Gentile man's house and preached the gospel of grace, and guess what? The Holy Spirit fell on them like it fell on them at Pentecost.
Amen.
So now Peter is ruling on the experience that he had with God in somebody else's house.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all get that later.
Yeah.
The experience of God in somebody else's house.
Amen.
When I'm talking to some of you, I get the experience of God by just talking to you.
Amen.
Have your ears and your heart open to the move of God in little things.
Amen.
You're free. See, that's not holding you back from submitting to one another. Nothing holding you back but your ego.
Yeah.
All right, read, Steve. Let's see what happened.
And he made no distinction between us and them.
Make no distinction. So why you make a distinction?
Hmm.
Baptist versus Presbyterian. Presbyterian versus Lutheran. Lutheran versus Catholics. Catholics versus Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day Adventists versus Mormons. Mormons versus, I mean, on and on and on and on and on. Everybody believe that their denomination is the right one. Missionary Baptist versus Baptist. Kojic versus Missionary Baptist. You know, everybody believe they got the right one. And the minute they start thinking more of themselves than they should, they done lost God. Instead of taking the good from each one and forming a thought process that will ensure freedom and liberty to the saints. Read.
Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?
Think about this. He said, now think about this. Do you want to put God to the test by putting a yoke on his children? That's what he said. He said, have y'all thought about what you were doing? They believed they were doing what was good and holy. Peter is saying, no, you're putting a yoke of bondage on them. That neither us, present day, or our forefathers, all the way back to Abraham, could do right. I'm telling you to carry 10, 15 pounds of mess of religion, and I don't carry but a pound. Because I want you to think that I'm doing it. And what I'm going to do is put on you something that you can't do, so then you think I'm doing it so I can stay over you. That's been done to most of y'all in church. You just didn't know what was going on. Because you figure these people that's putting on you have done it themselves. And that's a natural reaction because they looked the part. You assume, and I'm not telling you that's wrong. I'm just saying that's a natural thing to when you're in a position where you're in the pews and they up high and they got the verbose voice and they hey, and they all into it and you like yeah and they say you need to walk around the church seven times. They ain't gonna walk around the church seven times. You need to go outside and touch and agree. They ain't touching agree with nobody. But then they tell you to put the money in the pot. They don't even give money to their own church. So then they tell you to do something to be holy that they can't even do. That's what has happened to us. But when you're set free, you see through all that. Because you're a new creature. You test everything by the Spirit. Okay, read. Let's see what happens. So Peter then said, don't that y'all putting Jesus God to the test. Go ahead.
But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will.
We believe that they shall be saved and you shall be saved. And everybody comes after you by the grace of Jesus. Faith in what he did at the cross. He did the work. You just got to believe in it. He did the heavy lifting and the dying. You need to believe in it. He did the bleeding. You need to believe that you can be cleansed by it. Amen. That's where that goodness of God should lead you to repentance. Yes. All you need to do is believe and obey what you know. Yeah. But you don't have to. You don't have to do the physical stuff. All right. It's okay for ceremonial sake, but the ceremony is only good as the person who's getting the ceremony done to them and the people that's performing it with them. It's not bad per se, but it's bad when we elevate it to some like super holy event. How can we raise these little ceremonies to super holy event when the only ceremony we know of that saved us was a bloody cross? You see what I'm saying? See how we got it twisted?
Yes.
We don't see no big pageant for Peter and them to be made apostles. Let me think about this. When Paul was made apostle, he got knocked off the horse on the dirt. So maybe next time we ordain somebody, we can take him outside, put him on the horse. And knock him off. Right. And put a blindfold on him. And somebody lead him into a building, they don't eat for 3 days. Wouldn't nobody want to be apostle then, would they? No chicken dinners, just starvation. You see, we see stuff done, but we don't want to do it. And it's rightfully so because that was Paul's experience. That doesn't have to be yours. Right. But what you learn from that is God chooses who he wants to choose.
Amen.
And he chose even a Pharisee. But the Pharisees had infiltrated, and honestly, infiltrated, became brothers and sisters in Christ, but they hung on to what they believed. That's why I get concerned sometimes and one reason I brought this on because a lot of you got some stuff that you do, okay? And I want to assure you, the stuff that I've heard, none of it's heretical. It just doesn't have the power that you think it has in the thing that you want it to have power in. Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. If it makes you feel good to say it, say it. I'm fine with that. I just want you to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And after you know the truth, you can make a decision whether you want to keep saying that. Understand, it's for you. Sometimes you say stuff to make you feel good. It's okay. I'm telling you that. It's okay. It don't bother me. It bothers me if you think it has more power than that. Okay? All right, go ahead.
And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles.
Signs and wonders are for the unbeliever. That's what the Bible said. A sign points to the reality. That's why the church itself don't need no more signs and wonder. You the reality of the sign and wonder. I'm going to say it again. Church don't need no more signs and wonders. One, you got the word. Two, you got the Holy Spirit living in you. The signs and wonders were for them to believe that these guys were from God. Your words validate you. That's why I tell you people looking at you. You are a sign and wonder. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and God came along and quickened you. You are walking billboard. You are walking epistle. That's what the Bible say. So what does that mean? That means you in you is the hope of glory. You don't need to cast no spells. You don't need that. You got in your mouth contains life. In your mouth. It says that Paul said, we preach Christ. To those who believe, it's life unto life. For those who don't believe, it's their death sentence. What you need another sign for? Tell them about Jesus. All right, read.
After they finished speaking, James replied.
Now this is James. Peter didn't say what he had to say. Here comes James. What he said?
Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name.
Who God visited the Gentiles to take a people for his name. See, the Jews didn't like that part. Because they were the chosen people, but they messed up. And God said, don't worry about it. I always got people set aside. You the set aside people.
Amen.
Amen. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, yeah, the church is open to anybody who believes, but as a nation, they are still blinded to this day. Even they don't practice the worship they require. They should even know better than that. They had temple worship. Their temple was in Jerusalem. There is no temple there now. Synagogue is not the temple. Synagogue is the school. So the worship they're doing is called Pharisaical Judaism. Isn't that interesting? Okay? So even on the best ones, they don't have a temple to go to. They were commanded to go to the temple 3 times a year. Participate in first fruits, participate in Passover. They can't go do that no more. They were commanded to sacrifice all the bulls and goats for the offering. That didn't leave because Jesus came on the scene for them. If they want to practice that, they can. But that didn't leave. He didn't say, well, go to the synagogue instead. No, you either continue in the worship that you're doing that never could save you, that God said through the Old Testament it don't save you no more. He tired of bulls and goats. Or you come to Christ who is your sacrificial lamb. That's their problem. They want to perform.
Yes.
So even amongst the Jews, you have different sects. All right, go ahead.
And with this, the words of the prophets agree. Just as it is written, after this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen.
Who's going to rebuild the tent? God's going to rebuild the tent. You can't rebuild the tent. See, that was one of the problems with the Israelites. If you see the pattern, they never did good enough for God to come back and save them. God just gave them a time of chastisement. The only reason he saved them, even they said somewhere in the text, they said, the only reason we're here is because God promised that he would not destroy us. And the reason why we know, looking back, Jesus had to come through the line of Judah. If God didn't make that promise, there would be no reason to keep them because they failed miserably. But their failure is supposed to be our example that we don't have to live that way. You're free.
Amen.
You're free from the law. You don't have to participate in any religious activity. If you've been called to minister, minister. Minister. If God has put the word of God in your mouth and you're supposed to minister, minister. Speak. Talk. You don't need a ceremony to officially inaugurate you into doing what God Almighty has called you to do. Now, what we do when we do that, we're recognizing that we see it already. So it's already in you. You're performing in it and we're just catching up, getting the memo. All right, read.
I will rebuild its ruins. And I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.
So in other words, the Gentiles, us, the church, are going to make these things known to the whole world. That there's one Savior, it's Jesus Christ. There's one sacrifice, it's Jesus Christ. There's one resurrection, it's Jesus Christ. And all of us who in Jesus Christ, which are the church, whoever you may be, we are the body of Christ. We have the freedom that religion could never give us. And a lot of times in our flesh, we run to religion thinking it's going to give us some freedom, and it never does. It wasn't meant to do. Religion keeps bondage on you. So if they say, being Jews, that we could not live up to what was required to us, why are you trying to live in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why are you trying to live in the Old Testament? You think you can keep the law now? Well, it's Easter coming up. You better take your plane and get over there to Jerusalem. And once you get there, you better find you a temple. Ain't no temple. There's a mosque there. You better go in there. Or go to the wailing wall and put your bang your head against it. Yeah. What you doing that for? They don't commend you. See, all that, you're like, ooh, that looks so pious. They banging their head against a dead wall. Mm. It's a wall. Right. Mm. It don't mean anything. It can't save them. Mm-hmm. We can get lost in this religion thing. Yeah. Go to Romans chapter 14. I'm almost done, for real. 14, verses 2 through 4, read these.
One person believes that he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand.
Amen. Now, Galatians 5:1 again.
For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery.
Stop right there. When we read Romans, who's going to make the person stand? God. So there's no reason for you not to stand, because who's backing you up is God. Stand firm. Don't submit to a yoke of bondage. Don't let nobody put you in bondage with religion. Amen. Don't let nobody put you in bondage in anything that'll take the liberty of Christ away from you. Who Christ has made free is free indeed. He made us free at the cross. The only opportunity you had to be with God was to have a sacrifice that God accepted, and he accepted his son. And once you believe in that, you are free. Yes. So what? They don't wear what you wear. They don't look like you look. They don't think the way you think in the moment. Give them room to grow up in the freedom that you're going to show them, the love that you're going to show them through the freedom that you have. So what? They don't eat. So what? They do eat. None of this thing commends us to God. But give them room and say, you're still a servant of God.
Amen.
Fall on the get them on the path of conviction that if you love God like you say you do and trust God like you say you do, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? He said, God forbid, for those of us who are dead in sin are no longer under this yoke of bondage anymore. It's our love of Christ and our love of God that allows us to be free to look at people and say, you know what? They just like us. We not better. Better only when we serve them like God would serve them. Just like Minister said, we gotta serve them. You wanna be great? Be the greater servant. You're free to go as low as you need to go, and don't worry about what people think. You wanna help somebody that they don't understand? Go help them. You ain't got to tell nobody. And if somebody out here sees you helping somebody and say, well, I saw so-and-so, they shouldn't have been over there helping them because you know they this, they that, they that. Shame on you. You're just showing you're not mature. You still say, you just like them Pharisees. You ain't got the memo yet. I'm so free I can serve anybody that I choose, anybody God put in front of me.
Thank you,
It doesn't make a difference who they are and what they believe. God says, show them the love of God.
Yes.
Never compromising, but always willing to show what God has done inside of me. He has circumcised each one of your hearts. Now you have to learn to deal with that new heart. That new heart that causes you to be in a position to be hurt again. Grace will cause you in the position to be hurt. You are free to get hurt.
Amen.
You're free to be hurt again. But the love of God is going to get you beyond that hurt. Because you understand the purpose of the pain and the suffering is to be like Christ.
Amen.
Think about how Christ walked amongst his creation and he came unto his own. His own received them not. That'd be like you going home today and then your people in your house, but who are you? What are you doing here? We don't want you around here. Why, Jess was with you. So, go to Philippians 1:29. It's just the Holy Spirit sent me there. Let me see something.
1:29?
Mm-hmm.
For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake.
That's right. Think about this, Mr. K. It wasn't forced upon you. It's been granted to you.
Amen.
It's been gifted to you. In your freedom, you have the gift to suffer. That don't make sense to the natural man. But it sure makes sense to my heart. Because the same gift Jesus had to suffer for our sake, he gave us the gift to suffer for others. Ain't that beautiful? We've been granted that. We're going to be granted that thing that God has given Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. You can suffer like him. That same suffering with mankind, you're going to suffer with. And that's going to build your character. That's going to build your strength. You're going to endure it. It doesn't mean that you're going to get the only breakthrough you're going to have is good and faithful servant, job well done. And that's going to be good enough for you. Because God is in you. And he suffers with you so you can do his good will and pleasure. You're free. Do not let anyone put the yoke of bondage on you again.
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to bless us as we go forward in faith. Lord, look after us and keep us from being put in the yoke of bondage. Let us not rely on any religious activity, but allow the spirit that dwells richly within us. Lord, you poured your spirit out lavishly on our hearts. You'll circumcise our hearts. So let us walk in the thing called the newness of life, the new creation, and the power of the resurrection, Lord. We thank you today as we are moving towards Resurrection Sunday, Lord. We need to take into account you granted us the gift that we may suffer, that no more yoke of bondage may be on us. It's in Jesus' name I pray for all saints. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and in peace. And we'll say hello to our sister church in Kenya, Brother Timothy. We love you, we bless you, and we always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and in peace, and do what?
Walk in truth.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.